Welcome to the Gals Guide podcast. Join us on an adventure to get to know famous and infamous women from around the world. Each of our presenters has a pick. Is she ancient history? Is she breaking news? Is she safe for work? Well, that's up to each presenter. All we know is that...
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Did you think that Ireland Month was over? Well, I found a pot of gold on this April Fool's Day. Gals Guide just happens to be so lucky because we know Jackie. Jackie is a native Hoosier who now calls Ireland home. She also runs the Castle Lyons Library, which is supported and sponsored by Gals Guide. So for this bonus episode in Ireland Month, why not phone a friend and call in an expert or all of it in one go? So without further ado, please welcome Jackie Donegan. So welcome to the podcast, lovely. Introduce yourself to the wonderful people out there.
Hello, hello to everyone stateside and beyond. As Riru said, my name is Jackie Donegan, née McGuire, which is aka maiden name McGuire.
Perfect.
And I am from South Bend, Indiana. So go Irish and the Cubbies.
There you go.
But I do have to say go with the Packers.
Oh, switching up a little bit.
I have a lot of family in Wisconsin.
Fair, totally
fair. I now live in this lovely little village called Castle Lyons in County Cork. And I'm here with my amazing Irish husband, Sean, and our two fur babies, Benjamin and Ahsoka.
Yay!
And I'm honored to be here today.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And you and I geek out about Star Wars Ness, if nobody caught it with the names of your dogs.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. We're a Star Wars family here. True and true.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Well, as for me, I am Riru, and I am still the executive director of Gals Guide, even with that glorious little name change recently. I'm so happy that we get to do this episode. One of these days, I really know that Jackie's going to be in the Gals Guide library, and drinking with us and all that kind of good stuff. But until then, we have Zoom. So how do you say cheers?
So you say salancha.
Salancha. Yep.
Salancha, yes. I have a lovely glass of Bailey's Irish cream here. Have to do the Bailey's.
Perfect. I've got really boring non-Irish beer, and I'm very disappointed in myself.
That's okay. Do you want to know a fun fact about Bailey's?
Yes, please.
So Bailey's, which is obviously produced here, we are very limited on the flavors here.
There's a
million stateside. We have original.
Okay.
And that's about it.
That is so sad.
Yeah. Every now and then they will do a, special edition. They'll keep it around for a few months. But I mean, it's terribly sad.
No, what is it? Because there's a caramel one, a chocolate one. I mean,
yes.
I feel like if I mention the different flavors, exactly. Now I'm just
the caramel one was always my go-to. I love the caramel. They did have, this past summer, they did have a pina colada Bailey's.
Okay.
It was actually quite delicious. I'll be honest.
I love a pina colada. I wouldn't pass it up, but I would just be suspicious. Still Bailey's?
Yes. It was still Bailey. It was delicious. I will say, because I'm a big Malibu fan, and I'm like, wait, what? And it totally worked.
Nice. Well, who knows? I like it. Oh, fantastic! Well, you have a special Irish gal for us. Who do you have?
I do.
For us? I'm so excited.
So I have Kate O'Brien. It was honestly so hard to kind of narrow down.
Yeah, right.
Who to talk about. There are so many incredible life stories of grit and strength around here, past and present. I was talking to the locals, getting their opinions on who they thought would be good. It was a very big list trying to narrow it down.
Nice. I love that you community sourced it. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like they will know. They will know.
So tell me all about her. I'm excited. I know nothing.
Okay. So Kate O'Brien, she is a novelist. Okay. So I had come across a literary festival here. Was it last month? I think it was last month. And it was in Limerick City, which is about an hour's north of here. And it was honoring this Kate O'Brien. I was like, who's this Kate O'Brien? You know, she was a Limerick native. And this year they were celebrating its 40th anniversary for this festival. It had started in 1984, which was 10 years after she had passed. So it was marking the 10th year anniversary is when they had started it. So yeah, 40 years strong. That's impressive.
Nice. She's festival. On her way to being, you know, the Scottish Burns Night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Absolutely. Like. Yeah. Nice. So of course this piqued my interest. I'm like, who is this? Because my own Irish journey had begun in Limerick City. I had lived and worked there for several years before meeting my husband and moving to Cork. Nice. So she was definitely a woman before her time. She is now considered to be a major 20th century Irish writer, but that wasn't always the case. Mm-hmm. So being born in 1897 as Kathleen Mary Louise O'Brien.
Ooh.
Nice strong
our
name.
Our girl Bonnie loves the like 5, 6, 7 name people. Yes.
Oh yeah. Very common here. Very common. she had lost her mother when she was 5 and then went to a convent school with her older sisters. Now, this would be kind of a common practice, especially if like one or both parents had passed away or if the family was well-to-do. It was kind of considered like a boarding school.
Gotcha.
So she graduated in 1919 from UCD, which is the main university in Dublin. Gotcha. And she had 2 degrees in English and French.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. So then she went on to London, as many did during that time.
True.
Yeah. And worked as a teacher for a year and then went on to Spain to work as a governess.
Nice.
And it was during this time that she began writing fiction. Mm. Yes. So when she returned to England a little over a year later, she started working at the Manchester Guardian, which is a well-known newspaper over there.
Nice.
Yeah. And then after that, during that time, she actually had a dare to write a play. So someone had dared her to write this play.
And so
I know, it was fantastic. And so she wrote this play called The Distinguished Villa in 1926. And it was so successful that she was then able to just focus on writing full time.
Oh my gosh.
Nice. Her first play, and it was a hit.
Oh, I was dared to make a horror movie. It didn't hit. So
these things happen.
It's okay. It was fun. It was an experiment. So I love it when a dare, a challenge is, it brings out the best in you. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you think I can't, or you think there's something difficult in doing, I'll show you.
Yeah.
It's got that I'll show you-ness. And so lovely.
Which says a lot about her character as well, you know? And so not too long after, in 1931, she had her debut novel called Without My Cloak, and that won awards across the board. I mean, so not only her first play, but then her first actual novel was just cleaning up.
Talent, right?
Yes. But so as a feminist, her novels promoted gender equality, and most of the protagonists were young women yearning for independence, which also is probably why it cleaned up. But she's also viewed as a pioneer in queer literary representation. Yay. By encouraging a greater understanding of sexual differences. So several of her books included positive gay lesbian characters, which was amazing during that time.
Right? Yes.
And she herself was lesbian. She was married briefly to a male Dutch journalist, but that only lasted a year.
Gotcha.
And so then throughout her life, she actually considered her life partner to be an artist by the name of Mary O'Neill.
Oh, look at that.
But yeah, as you can imagine, in the early 1930s and 40s of Catholic Ireland, this did not set well.
No.
No. It was definitely not considered proper or appropriate.
Interesting.
So needless to say, many of her books were banned by the Irish censorship laws of the time. Mm. which was very heartbreaking for her because she really loved her home country, you know. But she was very vocal in her criticism for the conservatism in Ireland. Mm-hmm. She loved Ireland, like her home, so much that many of her her settings in her books were actually in this town called Mellick that she came up with, M-E-L-L-I-C-K, mm-hmm. which was just paying homage to Limerick.
Oh,
so it was a bit of a
cute.
Play on of it.
Nice.
Yeah. And she did move back to Ireland for a bit, living here on and off. She was in Connemara out near Galway and everything. So, and a few other locations, and Limerick, obviously.
Nice.
But because there was so much banning of her works,
yeah.
It kind of forced her back to the UK, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But while she was, when she moved back to the UK, she wrote, a column for the Irish Times. It was from a distance, you know, she was able to write
right,
it
right.
and still have a say in Ireland about things. Yeah.
There's still a foot there, right? There's a foot, there's a heart. Yeah. Still there. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But following a debate on the banning of one of her novels called The Land of Spices, it was a debate in the Irish Senate. There was a campaign that was supported by many. And so the censorship laws were somewhat reformed in 1946. But the Reformation was actually just creating an appeals board. So,
it still
had to be done.
Okay.
But
yeah,
it was a step in the right direction. So The Land of Spices was banned in 1941, and it was unbanned in 1949.
Okay.
So 3 years after the appeals board was created.
Okay. Gotcha. Took some time.
Then,
at least it went in
it
the right direction, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then there was one novel of hers called Mary Lavelle, and it was actually never officially unbanned. I mean, it's unbanned now, but
sure, sure.
I mean, that's because the censorship laws are gone.
Right.
but yeah, it was never officially unbanned.
Oh.
But yeah, so by her work that she was doing and by the support that she had within the Senate and outwards, she was able to kind of help, you know, with this ending of the banning of the books.
Nice.
Even yeah. Though
her book is involved, she's also speaking up for other authors who have been banned.
Absolutely.
So yeah, absolutely. Nice.
Definitely. And then in addition to the novels, she wrote plays, film scripts, short stories, essays, a copious amount of journalism,
ooh,
two biographical studies, and two very personal travelogues, one from Spain and then one from Connemara, her time in the Galway area.
Nice.
Yeah. But having said that about Spain, she had a love for it. She loved Spain.
Yeah.
And so she wrote about a life of a Spanish mystique, Teresa of Avila. And she used the relationship between the Spanish king, Philip II, and Maria de Mendoza to write the anti-fascist novel, That Lady.
Oh, look.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is
She's causing
spicy.
Waves all over Europe.
Nice.
And also her novel, the Mary Lavelle, that was banned in Ireland, was also banned in Spain, of
well,
course.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Sure. All sorts of waves. But that column that I mentioned before, that she wrote in the Irish Times,
yeah,
it covered so many different topics. And back in 2020, her grandniece, great-niece, okay, however you say that,
right,
she was asked to do a write-up about her great aunt. And so this was, I just went ahead and I pulled the snippet from her because it was just so good. She says, it's 50 years since Kate O'Brien wrote her long distance column in this very newspaper. From a little house in Kent, the Irish novelist's wide-ranging intellect presently wondered at the issues as diverse as the diminishing butterfly population, Ireland's superbly male reaction against independent women, and the American presidency.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah, so this was interesting. So she pulled a quote that from Kate herself, and it says, "No one can look at the result of this election with any kind of hope. And I imagine that all the intelligent in the United States can only be in despair about the plight to which their ideal of government has been reduced. November 4th, 1968.
68.
Kennedy?
No. Nixon? Okay, thank you. Because I'm like, oh, wait a minute. No, Nixon. Yeah, that makes
sense. Now we had to look that up too. Yeah.
Okay.
Because we're like, oh yeah, Nixon, that makes sense. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that's right. Yeah, Kennedy was 63 or
something. Earlier. Like yeah, earlier, okay. Earlier in. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm. But you know what? 68 to 2016.
I know it could be. When I read that quote, there. I'm History like, is she seeing the future?
I know, right? No, it's just called. We haven't learned our history, so we are doomed to repeat it.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, yes. Oh, so yeah, that was kind of fascinating to read that.
50 years earlier.
Yeah, crazy. You should throw that up on Facebook and see what people say.
I know, right? How much of this do you feel is still like this could still have been written today? You know what I mean?
What year do you think this was written in?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh goodness. But yeah, so as mentioned before, she had written well into her 70s for this Irish Times. This was all later on in her life. She was very outspoken on all these topics. She even wrote about how the rise of plastic is just going to be devastating for the island, and you know, there's already too many ice cream cartons and potato packages, you know, potato chips, you know.
Yeah. So. Very true. Where does all this plastic go?
Exactly.
The ocean.
Oh, absolutely. And we're surrounded by water over here, so.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to pollute your own waters.
No, definitely not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so she ended up passing away in 1974 at the age of 76.
Nice. That is a wonderfully long life. Yeah. Of course, for a writer, I would wish her more and more and more and more.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah.
Of that time, that's a good age. That's a good age.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, at the time of her death, she was poor,
gotcha.
And most of her books were out of print.
Oh no.
Yes,
because
they were banned. Yeah. And you'll appreciate this. Yeah. So in the 1980s, her work was recovered by feminist scholars and reprinted by feminist publishers such as the Arlen House in Dublin and the Virgo in London.
Yay!
So brought back.
Thank you. Yes, that's what you do.
Absolutely. And now there's a whole section in the Hunt Museum up in Limerick about her work, and she like I said, just she's revered here now.
Nice.
Which you wish she could have been when she was alive, but
always.
I mean, the legacy that she has left is absolutely amazing.
Right.
I mean, like I said, 40 years now with that festival, and they always give an award to up and coming female author, and
nice.
You know, it's fantastic to see.
It keeps her memory alive, her legacy alive, and inspires the you know, another generation, or just inspires another writer to kind of look at what she did with the resources that she had, and then to think of the resources that we have now, and it's like, all right, let's up our game a little bit in the spirit.
Oh,
of
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, she was, you know, the festival helps bring a voice to many who might not have felt they had a voice to share.
Right.
You know, and one of her well-known quotes is, literature is forever the lamp of truth.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. And she wasn't afraid to say the truth, you know?
Right, exactly. Yes, and to shine a spotlight on it by choosing the written word as, you know, the vehicle of getting it out there. So
yeah,
to my heart.
Exactly. yeah. And you know, it's interesting. She so as I was doing research on her, a few of the local ladies, they actually thought she was someone else called Edna O'Brien from Clare.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of Edna O'Brien?
For some odd reason, that does sound a tinge familiar, but I don't know why.
She's still alive. She's 93.
Okay.
And she she actually was mentioned as a candidate for the Nobel Prize in Literature, so she'd be more well known. Her, but same thing, like her books. So her books were banned from Ireland, but they, you know, they focused on, you know, sexual matters and social issues within the repressive period in Ireland following the Second World War. And so, I mean, like it was kind of the same, you know, the same era of it. And,
same struggles and the same, like having, you know, a female, an Irish female voice trying to put, you know, words out into the world is still.
you mean we can, we have brains, we can speak, like
we
what?
Write eloquently.
We can write. Yeah.
And share wisdom with the world. Wait, what?
No way.
Strong Irish women is what it's all about.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. There are some amazing women here.
Yeah.
Amazing women. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I love that. And the stories are thick. You know what I mean? Yeah. And for centuries and centuries of storytelling and meaning and myth and, you know, even just history, the way that it's imbued in story, it's like one of my favorite flipping flying things.
I know. Oh, absolutely. Like there's, I think it was near the Rock of Cashel over here.
Yeah.
In Caher, C-A-H-E-R.
Yeah.
They actually have, some old ruins and, within it, they've set up a bit of a museum, for Irish women of history. And we just happened upon it and it was amazing the amount of work that was done that was put into it,
the silent
voices of, you know, what had gone on here. And there's just so many incredible stories.
You might not have heard it yet, but my Irish guy was Queen Maeve.
going
way back to the Ulster cycle in there.
absolutely. Very good.
Do you love the mythology at any point? But I also feel like modern written voices are also embodying that mythology, you know, to have those stories told truthfully and honestly and what it all means. Because I mean, really, mythology is, you know, a way of saying this is what it means like to be human, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
So it very much has that, what is our humanity? What are we going through? And having Kate do it through plays and journalism and novels and all of that is just, you know, it's a special gift.
It truly is. And you know what I find here is, it made me realize when I moved here that the U.S., we are just babies compared to the rest of the world. just babies. Like we have in Castle Lyons, we have a castle that's ruins. You know, it's literally, I can look out my window and see it. Our wall in our front garden, that wall is older than our established government in the U.S. That's right there.
Right.
Just outside in the front garden. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's just that
we've got walls older than America.
Yes. The established government, America. Yeah.
Sure,
yeah. That's how I say it. The established government. Like, but yeah, you know, it really makes you feel quite like the adolescence of the world.
One of our regular podcast guests, Eden, will talk about when looking at the timeline of the United States compared to other countries. We are in our adolescence. We are having this toddler fit.
Yes, absolutely.
Right now, of mine. And it's just embarrassing.
it's a little tough watching, you know, from over here. And, you know, all of Europe is watching. All of Europe is shaking their heads,
right?
What the heck, you know?
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah, it's hard, but it is hard when you are within the U.S. and especially the Midwest, like you are right in the middle, you know, I mean, you're in this bubble. Mm-hmm. I mean, as hard as you try to open yourself to outside of that bubble, it can be very difficult.
There's still a force from the trees. Like, you know, if you are surrounded by the trees, you are still very much embedded in the forest to be able to have that distance from it is something that you are able to have. And for that, I'm sorry, because I'm sure the view, not great.
Oh, deep breaths. Well, and it's interesting because the U.S., I mean, not only is it kind of like the adolescence of the world, it also has the most impact on the rest of the world.
Which is weird. We shouldn't have that power, but we do, I guess. It's all subjective anyway.
It is. And a lot of it can come from military power, you know, first and foremost. I mean.
Right. The fight, fight, fight.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly.
Else's sandbox.
And you know, it's the past few years, especially this past year, has been really rough to see the fact that I have more rights here in Ireland as a woman than I do back home in Indiana.
Right.
And that to me is devastating. It's very sad. It's so sad. Like,
Trust me, we're sad about it too.
Yeah, I know. I feel for you guys. I really do. I feel for my nieces, you know, my family back home. It's just, it's something we took for granted, I suppose, in our generation of, well,
thinking it would always be there.
Yeah, it was always going to be there. Like, what's done is done. It was decided on. We're moving forward. Like, we're always moving forward, right? We're not taking 50 years back. Like, what?
Just a second. No, it's very true. And it's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about history, because we can see what it was. And that idea of let's move forward, let's be more inclusive and celebratory of one another and more empathetic, because we know more now. And so we should be doing better by one another.
Absolutely. 100% agree. 100% agree.
So interconnected now. Like, I'm talking to you in Ireland right now. Like, only a couple of years, a decade ago, this was not going to be possible.
Podcast.
I mean, I could call you on the phone, but you know what I'm saying. Record it, have it on a podcast, have that real-time interaction. It's we've gone so far to connect one another that why are there moments that we're going back to disconnect and fight with one another? It's very simple.
I don't know. That, I mean, you think after the pandemic, like, we could have pulled together and, you know, move forward, but...
Right? Exactly. I still believe in some of us.
Absolutely.
I'm an optimist at the end of the day.
The woman's voice is very powerful, and the woman's vote is very powerful, as we have seen throughout history all over the world.
All over the world.
I know this is more than likely just a glitch, a step back,
you know?
A bump, a little bump.
There you go. Or a glitch in the matrix. I mean, you and I are
a glitch in the matrix. So, yeah, yes, exactly. Yes, absolutely. And I know that there is hope. There's always hope.
We'll get there.
Yes. with maybe a few extra glasses of Bailey's.
Yes,
Some Kleenexes
for the crying times. Yeah, liquid courage goes through, right?
yes, absolutely.
To be powerful movers for, you know, positive change.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I'm glad that you shared Kate O'Brien with us. That is a homegrown pick, community sourced by yourself in the community.
Absolutely. Like, I'm going to have to go out and get her books.
absolutely.
See what it's all about.
Same. I will have to get
I like to read banned books.
I'll have to get her books for the Gals Guide Library here in the States. Yes.
Yes, definitely. Well, now that it's back in print, you know.
Mm-hmm. Very true. What were you saying about like banned books, though?
Oh, I'm always for reading banned books, you 100%. Know. Have to read those.
That's where the good stuff is. I think I can't remember the quote. I might find it for the show notes about Stephen King said that if a book is banned, that's the book you're supposed to be reading, or something like that.
Yes.
Like, all the good books are the banned books ones.
Well, and I know, like, last summer there was a group, very, very small group here, that has been influenced by talk in the States
I'm
in
sorry.
regards to censorship and banning books.
Oof.
And so they tried to hold protests at libraries.
Right.
And I tell you, I'm so proud of the responses here by these librarians and the governments. I mean, they were basically told to, hey, fuck off. Like,
they immediately go, oh, hell no.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, it wasn't even
exactly.
Thought of,
like, no. No. We are not even entertaining you. Fuck off.
No. And I'm like going, I love this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The way it should be that is modeled for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. No, we're not going to ban books here. We just talked about how we were unbanning books.
Like, right?
We're not doing that. We're not going back to the 1930s and 40s, guys. Like, no, not
right.
Happening.
Exactly. Yes. I don't think anybody who's been on the side of banning books has gone well in history. Like, it hasn't been looked back and reflected upon. Wasn't that a great idea when we banned? No. No.
Yeah, no. Definitely not. Oh goodness.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Do you have any other little bits before I wrap us up for, you know, the month again?
Oh my goodness. Not that I know of.
You're totally fine.
Erin Cobra.
Erin Cobra.
There
you
yes.
go.
Yes.
Yes.
Ireland
oh,
forever.
Well, that actually wraps us up for Irish Gals Month. So join us next week as we start our travels to the Middle East. Want to learn about more women of history? Gals Guide opened a unique women's history lending library. Come visit and explore our collection. Learn more at galsguide.org. Thanks for listening.